at Voices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. This is the week of the Arnold Classic. You're listening to episode 94. I'm Scott McNally, and this program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code ADVICES at checkout for additional savings. Thank you to everybody who has been using the code. It's much appreciated. We are a month in now advertising with True Nutrition, and I'm excited, guys. I'm still excited every day that we are working with such a legit company. I just purchased their beta-alanine. I've always been under the constraints of using whatever dose was in my pre-workout, and now I'm going to get to mess with that and see what works best for me. I'll report it all back to you guys. Guys, let's get to the program. So it is the week of the Arnold Classic. If you are you going to the Arnold? If you're going to the Arnold, then come and hang out with us because we're doing a live event. We're going to record a podcast from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturday morning, March 2nd. We will be down at the Hyatt, just so down the hall from the Expo. Take that long hallway down to the Hyatt. We will be in the Nationwide AB room. 9 o'clock is when we're going to kick things off with a meet and greet. You'll get a chance to hang out with everybody from the shows. And after that, we are going to start a podcast up at about 9:30. So you guys will all be there as our live studio audience. We're going to make it interactive. So think of some good questions now so that we can ask those questions and have you guys ask those questions on the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I always have a great time getting to meet our listeners, and I am super pumped that we can all get together and do this. Thank you to Best Bar Ever for helping us to make this happen. All right, guys, let's get down to the program. We have two interviews today. First, we have a short 20-minute conversation with Ryan Belcher. He's a powerlifter here in Michigan. He will be competing down at the Arnold Classic. And not only that, he recently saved a man's life. It was one of those stories where man moves SUV to free, you know, a pinned accident victim. It's crazy. But yeah, that's what Ryan did. He's going to tell the story, and he's going to tell us about his plans for the Arnold. After that, we are going to go to Becky Wilson. She is a fascio stretch therapist, which is, it's kind of like a deep tissue massage, but it's not. It's a different animal, and she will explain all of that, because a key factor is that I want you guys to understand the type of therapy that can be very beneficial to bodybuilding. You want somebody like a Becky Wilson in your corner. So we're going to understand what she does, and we're also going to talk about her experience working with Detroit Lions and the pro strongman competitors. In fact, she'll be down at the Arnold backstage working on the pro strongman at the show. So that's really cool. We're going to talk to her about all that stuff. Let's get to Ryan, and then we'll get to Becky. And guys, later in the week, I hope to see you at the Arnold Classic. Welcome back to Advices Radio. Up next, I've got with me powerlifter Ryan Belcher. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for getting me on here.
Absolutely, dude. I'm going to clue the audience in on some random facts here. So my mom said to me, "Hey, do you know who this guy is, Ryan Belcher? He's going to be competing down at the Arnold, and he's your cousin." I was like, "Oh, okay. I didn't know this." And she mentioned that to me maybe a week or two ago. And then she said, "Scott, did you see this story?" She sent me a link, and, basically you saved somebody's life, in a car accident just recently, right?
Yeah. About 7 days ago, actually, on last Thursday.
Tell me this story, man. This is the main reason I want to hear about the Arnold and what you're going to do with that. But really, man, I wanted to hear the story, 'cause this is phenomenal.
Yeah, so We just actually got back. It was probably about 4:20. We got back. We're getting ready to leave. And I went inside to wash my hands, and I heard a big smack outside, like a big smash.
Okay.
And no screeching of tires, nothing, just a big pow. So I took off to where the garage door was open, and I see an accident happening, people gathering. As I approached, I hear the lady, you know, yelling, like, get them kids away, get the kids away. So okay. I start running initially, you know, because, man, if there's children in here, that's where my main focus is going to be. We got to save these kids if the cars, because I seen the vehicle was flipped.
Okay.
So
just one car?
One car was flipped. Yeah. The other car, actually, she was still in like the turning lane, and her door was open, but her face was pretty cut up. She was pretty bloody. So initially I came to her first and asked her, was she okay? Could she understand me? All these questions, you know, basic questions. And then she was shaking her hand. Yes.
Yeah.
And then I turned my attention to the vehicle that was upside down, because there was four guys already there. And what they were trying to do was trying to kind of bend like a speed limit sign, you know, the pole. They were trying to bend it back because the guy was pinned up against that from his vehicle.
So the guy got ejected from his car now, and he is between the vehicle and this sign?
Yeah, like his lower torso, his legs, hips, and everything were stuck underneath the vehicle, like still in inside the driver's side part of the vehicle. But his upper body was smashed up against this pole, this little metal pole. So he was half under the vehicle and half out of the vehicle.
Wow. What did you feel at that time when you saw this?
It was scary, honestly, because I didn't know if he was alive or not, because he wasn't moving.
Yeah.
None of that was happening. And then there were so many people crowding the area that, you know, my adrenaline kind of from that was just rushing alone.
Yeah. And this is all, so you're saying this is all out in front of your house?
No, this is all in front of my workplace, our shop there.
Okay. I wasn't sure where we were set up. So is that a main road then, I take it, just right out in front of you guys?
Yeah, it's a Michigan Avenue. It's a main road there.
Okay. And for the listeners too, we live probably 15-20 minutes from each other. I'm over in Livonia, so I'm not far from you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not far at all.
All right. So you see this guy, he's pinned between the vehicle and the sign, half in the car, half out of the car. There's all these people gathering around, and you said that you turned your attention to that.
Yeah. So as I approach, I see these guys, you know, and they're having a heck of a time trying to get this pole free. And I got to the vehicle. I figured, I said, you know, I seen that the back of the vehicle was pretty smashed and there was a broken window. And I was kind of just trying to peep out like how he was stuck. And I seen if I could swing that rear end of that vehicle any kind of way by pushing, picking up or anything like that, then that's what's going to free him, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to the back of the vehicle there, and where the window was broken out, I kind of like hooked my arms in there because it was smashed in. So I put my forearms in there on the edge to have a little bit more power with my arms.
What kind of vehicle is this? I'm trying to picture it.
It's a Jeep. It was a Jeep Cherokee.
Okay. So it's an SUV. It's a larger vehicle too.
Yeah. It was smashed. I mean, she hit him doing probably 70 something miles per hour. So the rear end of that vehicle was smashed underneath. She hit him hard enough to where he flipped four times. One of his tires flew off the vehicle. His alternator was laying in the middle of the road.
Oh my God.
The radio in his dash was totally ripped out. I mean, it's horrible.
Wow.
How hard she, she was actually drunk. She was actually severe, super, super drunk actually.
Okay. Wow.
Somebody that actually, she was coming down Michigan Avenue and somebody was following her, had already called the Washtenaw County police officers, letting them know that this lady was driving erratically down the road.
Yeah.
And he was on his way. Had he been there, you know, 2 minutes prior, none of this would have ever happened.
Okay.
But so anyway, she's coming. She hits him in the rear. That's happened. So as now, I've got my arms in this vehicle where the window's broken out. And I just lifted up, man. I kind of just stood up and started pushing with my legs.
Wow.
I probably pushed probably about three or four foot before I heard all the guys that were pulling his body out from underneath the car tell me that he's free. We got him free now.
Holy cow. You moved this. So you moved an SUV basically is what you're telling me.
Yeah, completely.
Wow. When you walked up to that, I have to imagine that you didn't even think about, can I do this?
No, there was, till right now, I can't even tell you what I thought. There was no thought.
Wow.
And my coach, you know, my coach always preaches to me about having self-confidence, and you know, everything that I do, he knows that I can do it. I just don't trust myself. So
yeah,
I just went into mode. Was like, this has to be done. This guy's, it's either life or death for this man right now. And if we don't get him out, for one, the vehicle's pouring gasoline out. So if this vehicle,
wow,
if it blows up right now, you know, everybody in this area is going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Including myself and him, you know. So luckily I had a little bit of power that day.
No kidding, man. Wow. So what happened to the guy?
He's doing pretty good. Actually, I've been there yesterday. I seen him yesterday and I seen him Sunday. So Sunday, my first time seeing him, he sent me a picture. His girlfriend sent me a picture of him laying there. And, so we go up there to see him. It was pretty emotional at first with him. And I mean, and I, both of us were in tears. He kept telling me how I saved his life, you know, this, that, and the other. And
wow.
So, they came in to do an x-ray. They had to bring the x-ray machine in there to do it or whatever. So I stepped out of the room, and as I stepped out, man, there's probably like 10 nurses out there, and each one of them gave me a hug and shook my hand and told me thank you. Then like the main nurse, head nurse, told me, you know, literally had I not moved the vehicle and got him into that different position of his body, that he probably would have ended up dead because his right side was completely collapsed.
Wow.
They had to drain, he had internal bleeding. They had a tube in him. They were draining that blood out of his lungs and stuff. So, you know, then it really got extra emotional because I didn't know that extent. I didn't know that that's what happened. I know he's paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay.
And you can see that when the accident happened, when I was standing there with him waiting on the first responders to get there, you can see that his legs were just, they were basically just like, almost like looked like they got ran over. They were so flat and they just laid there.
Wow.
So I knew, and he kept, that's what he kept saying was that he couldn't feel his legs. So, but I didn't know any other extent to where like literally he was bleeding internally. And
yeah,
you know, I didn't know all that until that day. So, it was, then it got pretty more emotional for me when I walked back in because I literally did save his life.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that.
That's crazy, man. Wow. I don't even know what to say. You know, I feel like saying thank you. I do. I feel like, I mean, you obviously you didn't save me, but I feel like saying thank you for just being a good human being and being the kind of guy who stepped up, because I feel like we all would hope that we would be the kind of person to step up. And then to take it a step further, I don't think that, you know, even if I wanted to step up, I don't think, there's no way I could physically do that.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, honestly, I didn't think I could either. But like my coworker, he was standing in the, he was kind of standing in the street helping direct traffic till the first responders got there.
Okay.
He says, you know what's crazy, man? He says, I knew when you had a hold of that vehicle. I said, well, why? He said, because it lifted up and it started moving.
How far did you move the thing in total?
I don't know. Maybe 3 or 4 foot, maybe at the most.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot. And I know it's been snowing here too. Had it snowed that day yet?
No, it was on Thursday. It was actually pretty decent. It was Valentine's Day. I believe the weather was pretty decent, but you know, we're on the sidewalk, so there was some snow and stuff there. So
yeah,
he was laying in puddles of water, you know, as we were able to pull him out, you know.
Man. Well, thank you for sharing the story with us. And while I've got you here, I wanted to talk a little bit of the iron. So you're a power lifter, and from what I understand, you're preparing for the Arnold. So you basically did this. You put yourself at risk too, and you obviously trying to move a vehicle like that with your strength, you could get seriously hurt doing that. Thankfully, you didn't. What are your plans for the Arnold Classic?
We got big plans. You know, we haven't really put them out on the internet a lot because of this big story going into the Arnolds with me and the guy I'm competing against. He's won the Arnold Classic Super Heavyweight 2 years in a row now, so he's basically like the reigning champion.
Okay.
What's
his name?
So the story, his name's JP Carroll.
Okay.
Good guy, man. He's a decent guy. We went back and forth on social media a few times, but we went ahead and put that to rest, you know, just to make it a whole friendly competition when we get there.
Right on, man. Where's he out of?
He lives out of Ohio, actually.
Okay.
Yep. So that's where he's at. He's there. He's sponsored by a couple of people in Ohio as well. But I don't know, man. You know, a lot of people want to see me squat 1,000 pounds. So you know,
whew.
I'm trying. If my coach will allow it, you know, that's what we're gonna do.
Wow. Wow, man. What do you lift in training?
It's all off of percentages. You know, my program is based on percentages of my one rep max that we've done. My best squat walking out of in the gym has been the 975 through this training program. And
you said walking out, so that's not on a monolift. You walked that out.
Yeah, not on a monolift. I walked out 975.
Oh, jeez. Do you have video of that?
Yeah, I do. It's on my Instagram.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna grab that and share it with listeners, man. That's nuts.
Actually, I think there's three videos. I think one of them's 875, and then the next one's 925, maybe, and then the third video is a 975, all walking out in the gym.
Okay, so you said you're super heavyweight. What do you weigh walking around?
Probably about 350, 353, right in that area.
Okay. And now I don't know enough about powerlifting. Will your weight change between now and the Arnold?
We're trying. Actually, I've lost like 8 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, in like the last 2 weeks. I don't know what happened. My diet I eat so much food, you know, and I kind of get wore out. So really, I kind of probably got a little undisciplined on my food. And the last 2 weeks, I've lost pretty close to like 8 pounds, but we're trying to get that back, you know, with getting my food back up to like 12,000 calories a day.
Right on. And
that's including, you know, 3 or 4 shakes too. So with good food, probably about 8,000, 8,500 calories with good food.
My mind's blown there. I ate about 8,000 calories once for a period of time, man. And it that was a lot of food. that was including shakes, dude. So tell me, like, what is a meal? I know you're at the gym now. You're probably going to train after this. What does a post workout meal look like to you?
Just now I just ate 1.5 chicken breast. Probably close to a cup of broccoli and then a cup of green beans.
Okay, that's not too bad. Then I don't know how you got 8,000 calories and you solid food on top of that, because you must be shoveling it in at some point.
Yeah, that's. That's well. I take five containers of that same food, of that same meal.
Okay.
With me throughout the day, and then, you know, who knows what else I'm eating throughout the day? You know, because the people I work with, you know, they eat fast food and stop at the gas station all day. So, you know, I'm just gathering snacks and eating everything I can put my hands on. Really
nice. Lucky you. In bodybuilding, we can't do that at 2 weeks out.
Yeah, you know, that's what somebody. I did an interview with Channel 7. On Friday, I believe, here at the gym.
Nice.
And he called me a bodybuilder. I said, hey, come on now. I said, it takes a way different discipline to be a bodybuilder. I'd rather be fat than have to do that, all that.
Yeah, but that's insane, man. Walking out, you say 975. That's crazy. So tell me, when will you be competing? And where will
March
that be?
Second.
So that'll be Saturday, March 2nd.
Yep, March 2nd. Saturday, March 2nd in Columbus, Ohio. At the Columbus Greater Convention Center.
Do you have an idea on where the actual event will take place at the convention center?
I have no idea. I know that I'm weighing in, and it says I have to weigh in Hall 115A on Friday. But where it's actually in the convention center this year, so it's not off site. It's actually there.
Beautiful.
At the convention center. So, you know, people are there. I'm sure if they ask just where the XPC where the XPC lifts are being held at, then they probably point them in that direction. Because if right now, I have no idea. I'm just showing up.
Right on, man. Well, perfect. I'm sure that anybody who's going down can find you. Do me a favor and let me know, where do you train? Plug anything that anybody you work with, and any shout outs you want to give, man. I want to hear all this stuff.
I train at the Powerhouse Gym in Saline.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, in Saline, Michigan. That's my home gym. For right now it is. We're currently trying to find like a pole barn kind of deal for us to build on like an acre of land, and trying to get something for the community for power lifters to be able to come to. And
that'd be cool.
We're trying, man. We're trying to step it up a little bit. Not something that we're going to try to get rich off. Just try to help people. You know, power lifters are always frowned upon in commercial gyms because, you know, we're there, we lift weights and we take a long time, and they don't like that.
Yeah. You actually use the equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the weights. That's what my gym here, you know, at one point in time, they only had like 30, 45 pound plates. So, you know, on my heavy squat days, I got 18 of them on my bar.
Okay. Jeez.
Yeah. So, you know, my coach, his name is Shane Poole. You can find him on Instagram too at Skinny Fat and Strong is his name on Instagram. Really good guy, man. Programs are amazing. I don't know. That's it. You know, shout out to my wife for going through this.
Man,
she's been through it with me from the start. You know, the one thing that people don't understand is you would understand, and bodybuilders as well, is the time that we put in the gym doesn't only affect us and our daily thing, but affects our loved ones as well, you know. But she's rolled it out, man, and she's been a soldier through it all with me.
Absolutely.
So all props to her.
Huge shout out to her. If people want to find you, what's your Instagram?
My Instagram is it's I am and then the number one him. So it's I am one him.
All right. Well, Ryan, thank you for your time, man. What's that?
No, thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. This is awesome. And I appreciate you taking the time to tell your story. And just once again, man, thank you for being the kind of human being that steps up in these situations. We need more people like you.
I just hope that, you know, all the people that are writing me, telling me how that I've influenced them and I motivate them, I hope I can continue to do that. So,
hell yeah, man. All right, guys, well, head on down to the Arnold Classic. It's going to be March 2nd. Come and see Ryan Belcher. Guys, we will see you there at the Arnold. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys, that was a really cool story. I'm excited that we could have Ryan on. Up next, we're going to speak with fascio stretch therapist Becky Wilson, and hopefully you will come away with a better understanding of what you need to look for in your soft tissue work. Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows. All right, guys, welcome back to ADVICES Radio. And it is my pleasure today to have massage therapist, level 3 medical fascial stretch therapist. I've got a bunch of stuff that I have to say here. Practical nurse, certified life stretch instructor, and my therapist too. Becky Wilson, thank you for being with me. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, and I'm super excited to get you on because, listen, first of all, I've said this to you before off the air. I've made posts on social media, but I have to say thank you because you have changed my life, and I appreciate it. You've allowed me to keep doing what I love doing, and that's getting in the gym and abusing my body pretty much.
Well, my goal is to teach you to listen to your body so it doesn't get that bad again.
That's it, and you have, and it's been amazing. I want to tell everybody just out the gate, you know, I've talked about this, but it's been a little while. I was unable at a certain point, maybe 2013, to do any type of presses. I couldn't do a barbell press. Dumbbell presses got real questionable. Maybe 8 weeks out from a contest, I got to the point where the only thing I could do for chest was like a pec deck or a machine fly, a cable fly. And on and off through the years since that time, I had gotten some strength here and there and then lost it. Just a terrible shoulder issue, and I could never figure it out. I came to Becky, and legitimately, the next day, I did, 90-pound dumbbells for a dozen reps or so with zero pain, and that was the first time I picked dumbbells up, Becky, in like 3 years plus.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad it helped out.
Blows my mind. So I just rattled off, tried to rattle off all of your certifications. tell me, what is a level 3 medical fascial stretch therapist?
Fascial stretch therapy is a protocol that is taught by Ann and Chris Frederick. They're based out of Chandler, Tempe, Arizona area. Their company name is called Stretch to Win. Basically, you've got two very intelligent people that were able to come together and create this amazing program that isolates the connective tissue and stretches and mobilizes that, as opposed to just focusing on the muscle tissue. And it's in that fascia that all the scar tissue and adhesions really live and start restricting your mobility and your ability to do the things that you want to do.
Mm. So you tell me, just in my situation, what was going on? What did you see? And how were you able to correct it the way you did?
Well, your shoulder was what I'd like to call an area of opportunity.
Okay.
That's a polite way of saying hot mess. We have no hot messes, just areas of opportunity.
I like that.
Really, honestly, what I saw was visually your shoulder was anteriorly curled in. Your pec minor was really rotating your shoulder forward, and the adhesions that had developed within that shoulder girdle was really making it hard for good blood flow to get into the tissue. Mm. So it kind of atrophied in a way. It kind of got gluey and stuck down.
Okay.
So what we did is we went in manually, and I have a whole thing in my mind that I know when I work on a shoulder girdle, how every area I'm going to want to hit. So with you, we started shoulder, had to go through the rib cage. If the rib cage is not expanding and contracting properly for breathing, then that's going to lock up the shoulder girdle. If ribs are out, if the subscap's pulling too tight, the subscap pulling too tight tells me that your scapula is starting to pull anteriorly into your armpit.
Hmm.
So your pec is locking up and shortening in the front. So we had to go step by step and get through all those pieces and break apart the adhesions, as you will readily attest to. It is not a relaxing process.
No, not at all. God, no. God, no.
But it is possible in 1 hour to get those things to break free. And over the next several days, you continue to get increased blood flow to that tissue. Mm. And that blood flow is what's going to carry the oxygenation in the red blood cells to help increase that repair and recovery that over time keeps it going even further.
I think it's amazing, and I understand it. I can see it, or I could see it in my own physique. I think it's cool that you can visually look at somebody and you can see these things. You've told me before when I've walked in, you know, you're standing this way, you're holding your body, you know, like that, and that this is a concern, and I can see why, you know, something is an issue just by your posture.
Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, in many ways, there are people that I work with who are around the country that I've trained with are just exceptional at seeing postural problems and movement patterns. And I am not someone who is good at picking that out in a technical way.
Okay.
I'm significantly more intuitive. It's hard for me to explain it. A lot of times I have to put my hands on you for your body to talk to my hands and tell me where it is I need to go. But visually, yes, I pick up on the subtle nuances and get an idea where to go. And then once my hands get on you, we get there.
That makes sense. And having experienced it, I totally get, you know, what you mean. I have gone to so many different massage therapists, deep tissue work, and all sorts of stuff that it never scratched that itch. It never fixed it. I felt relief. I felt like a soothing quality, and I have gotten benefits. So I don't want to disregard. I don't want to disregard the other therapists I've been to. One of the things that really surprised me by going to you was, you know, I came in with a shoulder problem. That was the last thing you worked on. You worked on everything you just mentioned. You worked on everything else first. You started in my ribs. You went through the pec. You came through my back. You're in my trap. And it's like none of that even was exactly what the problem was in my mind. But apparently, like you said, it was all connected. That blows me away.
Well, where you feel the pain is your symptom. It's not your cause.
Mm.
So we have to have that conversation between your hands and my body. And plus, I understand that training and bodybuilding is a part of it's part of you. It's a part of your therapeutic process. It's a part of how you express yourself as a person. It's a life that you've built yourself around. Mm. By having an injury that stops you from living the life that your heart and soul wants to be in, there's a commitment level there that you need from me that understands I need to help you get back to that.
Hell yeah. Oh yeah. And I appreciate that. And I can, you know, I feel the passion from you in the way that you work. It's so cool. Something now, this is kind of like out of my realm, strongman. I can appreciate it. I see these guys, they're freaking monsters and they're doing incredible feats of strength. You work on these guys. That's kind of like your bread and butter is working on really big dudes, right?
Well, in all honesty, my bread and butter is everyday people dealing with pain management issues. Oh, okay. That would be 50 to 60% of my client base. It's okay. Referrals through chiropractors and personal trainers and physical therapists. And then when those people come in, they tell everybody they know, and that referral keeps growing. So that's my bread and butter to say what happens in my office most of the time.
Okay.
The strongman's my fun.
Tell me about it.
This year that will be my fourth year working at the Arnold with the pro and amateur strongmen. Wow. And women. It is incredibly important to note that Strongman Corporation, led by Dion, now Masters, she helped bring women strongmen into the Arnold and now has created a pro level of it. So the pro women get to compete on a main stage the same as the pro men.
That's cool.
Rogue has jumped on board. They've got record breakers for them, so they have the opportunity to win $5,000 for different record breaker events. So watching this sport grow beyond just the Brian Shaws and the Thors and the Dimitars and Jerry Pritchett's, it's also seeing Donna Moore from England, Christina Bangma out of Indiana, Kim Dirks. She's up in Wisconsin. These women have done just some of the most amazing things, and they're athletes through and through. It's not just a matter of strongman. We've got Brittany Diamond in Massachusetts, who actually declined the Arnold this year because she's prepping for a physique competition.
No kidding, huh?
Mm-hmm. And she's stunning.
Tell me, what do you do at the Arnold? What does your day look like?
I usually start about 2 days before the actual event starts and take private appointments in the hotel room so I can help people get some of the travel bugs off. On the world level competition, some of these people are traveling 12, 16 hours, and a lot of times it's not pleasant travel.
Yeah, I bet.
So helping them just get the travel bugs out, paying attention to their quirks and tweaks. It's never a full body, you know, like what you get in a personal appointment. And I'm very cautious about making sure I don't loosen them up too much.
Really? What do you mean by that?
Like whenever I can take you through a deep, like I'll do deep tissue and then stretch you afterwards. And that stretch afterwards really is what I feel solidifies the work.
Okay.
You should not be lifting incredibly heavy weight, especially when I'm doing, if I'm getting into joint capsules and stuff, I ask you not to squat extremely heavy and things like that immediately afterwards. Okay. Where these people are coming in and they're lifting extremely heavy weight. So yeah. The protocols that I follow, actually I was guided by Dr. Todd McDougall, who is known as the Strongman Doc. He's been a chiropractor working on strongmen for over 20 years now. He has helped guide me towards what's the best way to treat athletes when they're at that competition. So it's mostly quick deep tissue, quick issue addressed, a whole lot of psoas work.
Yeah, okay.
You know, because it's low back. It's not just a 500-pound deadlift. It's a 500-pound deadlift for reps in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's just knowing, okay, I can get this released on you, but we can't go further than this because the next event is going to be that. So I've got to make sure you're good for that.
Okay, interesting. And I am thinking, I can only imagine what it's like for a guy like Brian Shaw to try sit on an airplane, you know, to get to the Arnold Classic. So you're putting them in line before they even start. Like you said, when I think travel bugs, I think how uncomfortable I am, you know, at 210 pounds. I could only imagine the discomfort that some of these men and women are going through. You're also you're doing that before the event. You're also backstage, right?
Correct. I am next to the competition floor with the amateurs until the pros get on stage as they're warming up. Then I make my way You'll see me with my whole cart of stuff making my way from the amateur floor. I always stop at the indoor Highland Games because those are my people. Nice. And then I hit the back corridor and go through the loading docks and get in behind the main stage, and I'm there for them.
Hell yeah. That's cool. Tell me about the Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions are a whole bunch of great kids.
And you guys at Tricovery, that's where you're through, correct?
Correct.
And you guys are contracted to work with these gentlemen, right?
Correct. Jeff secured the contract for the entire Tricovery team to be the official massage and stretch therapist to the Detroit Lions. And it's been 3 years now. It's a phenomenal gig, to say the least. I mean, we go into the training facility 5-6 days a week. They have one of our staff members on the sidelines for every game, both home and away. So it's really been a great opportunity for the entire team to help take care of the hometown team.
That's awesome. So you're telling me, because I can imagine, you know, somebody's on playing the game, they get a tweak or something like that. You can attempt to try to fix them and keep them moving through the game and get rid of these problems, huh?
If they choose to, you've got to imagine on that level, they've got athletic trainers, they've got every possible physician you could ever imagine.
Wow.
On the sidelines there. So there's, you know, they've got the team chiropractor, athletic trainers. More often than not, we're not the first line of defense, but a lot of the warm up, a lot of halftime, getting a few things stretched and moved out. One thing I learned being on the sidelines with them during a game is it's not always about what's happening directly on the field. It's between the plays where they're standing and sitting. It's
really,
I remember looking at one guy about 3 or 4 days after the game. I recognized him. I'm like, hey, come here for a second. I have a feeling you've got an issue right here. And I pinched that sternocleidomastoid. And he about jumped out of his chair. Well, he's 6'10", and he was talking to a guy who was 5'8", with his head down and shoulder pads and helmets. So just understanding it's not always about just what happens out there, but what they do in between time. That's, I mean, commercial breaks, when you take a look at how long they stand around sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's almost as bad as the game itself.
No kidding. I would have never thought of that. Yeah, I think I see the big hits. And that's the exciting points of the game. And that's where I would think the actual issues were coming in. So that's some cool insight.
It's fun. They're, like I said, they're, for the most part, they're 22, 25, 29 years old. And I turn 47 in a few weeks. So,
well, happy early birthday, by the way, in that case.
Well, thank you.
So one thing I really wanted to talk to you about was bodybuilding. I know in the last couple of years, you've begun working with more and more bodybuilders, and we've had
thanks to you.
Well, I'm grateful to suggest people to go to see you. The second that somebody has a problem, I tell them, at least all my local people, I tell them, go see Becky. And it's amazing because you have, you've helped so many people, like you had said, continuing to be able to do what they love.
Absolutely.
It means so much. We had a conversation one day while I was on the table, and you started telling me some of the insights that you've developed through working with bodybuilders. What's unique and specific to working with us compared to some of your strongmen or the football players or even the normal everyday people that you work on?
There's a few different things. If I remember correctly, Ashley was shadowing that session, so I was trying to teach her at the same time, and you were like a sponge soaking it all in.
Oh, it was so cool. I was learning too. It was fun.
What I see with bodybuilders is, one, your training schedules tend to be 5 to 7 days a week. So you're very rarely taking any rest time. And I have learned through experience, most people don't understand that muscle tissue is built in the rest and recovery time, not in the time you're in the gym.
We try to tell them on the show here, but they don't always listen.
So what that does over time, you've got to understand muscle tissue is breaking down and wanting to build itself back up. That continual breaking down process is going to put some fluid out into the muscle tissue itself. Then you've got the fascia that is not only surrounding the muscle tissue and the organs, but each and every single fiber of that muscle tissue is surrounded by a layer of fascia. Okay. So think about a rope and how a rope has multiple ropes inside of the rope until it gets down to that fine, tiny little strand.
Yeah.
Every single one of those in your muscle tissue is still surrounded by a layer of fascia. So that gets stuck. that gets sticky. That's where your adhesions and your scar tissue lives. When people talk about knots, that's what's causing a lot of these knots. What I have to worry about with bodybuilders, I've got two different kinds. There's the bodybuilders that have always done that kind of hypertrophic training, and the bodybuilders who maybe at one point in time were strength athletes and now are doing that type of training. A strength athlete has denser muscle tissue.
Okay.
They have what I kind of call in my mind old man strength.
Okay.
It's denser. It weighs more. It can go against some bodybuilders because, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys do compete by weight class. So you can have two people standing next to each other, the exact same size and weight, but one, like the muscular, you know, the not muscular, the person who's done actual strength training for powerlifting and strongman and things like that,
yeah,
will look smaller than the bodybuilder because bodybuilding, I have found it, I don't want to say expands like a balloon more, but it gets plumper faster.
Okay.
And it's lighter.
Huh.
It feels different in my hands.
Really? Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. I can see it.
But what happens is when you are ready to get on the stage, you go through your water cut.
Yeah.
And that water cut dehydrates all that fascia that's surrounding every single one of those fibers, every layer through.
Right.
And you get that nice ripped look. You look phenomenal for your stage presence, but the rehydration process does not guarantee that what's been dehydrated is going to rehydrate.
Now, that's something that I find interesting. And that's one of the things we did talk about either that day or another day. So you're telling me that, you know, my thought is yeah, I dehydrate for a show, but then I'm drinking Pedialyte that night. You know, I'm refilling with fluids. And by the next day, I'm, you know, 10, 15 pounds heavier. You're telling me, even though that's the case, that doesn't necessarily mean that all of my connective tissue is rehydrated.
Correct. In my mind, I have a visual of, again, that same rope analogy and then squirting Elmer's glue over it.
Okay.
And that Elmer's glue is kind of like an analogy for your fascia.
Okay.
So let that dry.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it feels like to me whenever you're getting ready to get on stage. So now dump buckets of water on that and it's going to start getting softer, but it's not going to get softer in every single piece and every single fiber all the way through. And over time, it just kind of builds up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more to where things start sticking, especially if you're not structurally sound. And by structurally sound, the majority of any person I ever work with has a strong anterior roll. Our shoulders roll forward, our heads roll forward. We're constantly looking at phones. We're, you know, we sit in chairs, we drive in cars. We live in an anterior facing world.
Yeah.
So things just kind of crunch forward. A lot of people in my mind, when I see them, they look almost like a parenthesis.
Okay.
Kind of coming forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're coming forward and kind of stuck that way, now go lift really heavy weights.
Yeah.
And not... Okay, I'm going to say maybe 5 to 10% of the people I meet who train on a consistent basis know to fully engage their back, pull the shoulder blades together, get the lats engaged, get that posterior chain actively engaged in every single movement when you touch a weight.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're working your back or not. You have to have that tightly engaged to maintain proper structure so that you don't injure yourself. It's those structural imbalances that cause injury, not the weight.
Yeah. That reminds me, you know, I've dealt with low back SI issues and, you know, for years and years. You had pointed something out to me. It was, you know, last time I had heard it, maybe a few months ago now, it was during a barbell row. You pointed out there's a chance I wasn't engaging my glutes. You know, Becky, I ain't got a chance to tell you this yet. That's something that I've been addressing now. I've actually been specifically trying to do more glute work and get activation. Yeah, I do want to develop the glutes. But at the same time, though, as a side effect, I'm noticing that my propensity to hurt my low back has been a lot less since I've been training those muscles to fire better.
Outstanding. I love hearing that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have figured that out had I not talked to you. Now, when you worked on that, that was one of those cases where we went in through the psoas. Can you just explain to us a little bit about how you could work on somebody's back without really even touching the back?
Well, our backs are basically, we're thinking of the spine coming down into the center of the pelvic bowl, and that spine has to be stabilized 360 degrees all the way around it.
Yeah.
If something happens on that spine, and the spine is where everything is innervated and where the nerves come from, if something impinges on that, we're going to feel it in the back because that spine pulls forward.
Okay.
So more often than not, the psoas, which is a spinal stabilizer on the front of the spine, it comes off mid-thoracic spine and diagonally goes down to attach the muscle that lines the inside of your pelvis called the iliacus.
Okay.
They form the iliopsoas, go through the hip socket and attach to the top of your femur, the top of your leg. So think about sitting.
Okay.
When you're sitting, you have shortened that muscle line
sure.
that I've just described. Now, sitting like that for long periods of time gets that muscle nice and comfortable with being shortened. Same way our chest gets tight by having an anterior roll to our shoulders. So imagine you've worked all day. Now you run to the gym to go work out and you don't properly warm up your back. So your back's already kind of comfortable being shortened, but we're going to start making it stand up and lift heavy weights. The most common movement I think of when it comes to this would be the deadlift. You know, you bend down to pick up a heavy weight, you're trying to get your back straight, trying to get those hips to drop down a little bit. You give a good solid pull and it's a little tight and that little roundness in your back happens.
Yep, yep.
That's how people hurt their back. It's the psoas that's been strained on that. So it's been strained and it locks up and it's now angry. So it's going to pull the spine forward, giving you low back pain.
No kidding. And so this is through, can you explain what the psoas muscle is for anybody who doesn't know?
Like I said, it's a spinal stabilizer in that front region of the body.
So that's what, that, I guess that was the key. I wanted people to understand that it's, we are, this isn't through the back. This isn't like a lumbar type muscle. And I feel like everybody probably knows this, but I feel like there might be a few people that didn't. So to work on this.
Well, the thing is, again, remembering that everything's connected.
Yeah.
So now you've pissed that psoas off. The QL, the obliques, the erectors are now going to start firing extra to try and see if they can compensate for this.
Okay.
And I'll add in muscles in the pelvic floor also attempt to compensate for this, but oftentimes have been shut off due to other injuries that more often than not women go through. But that's a whole different topic that we can hit another time because I'm knee deep in my research on that.
No kidding.
But now you've got all these other muscles trying to compensate for an issue that's going on. So that's why when I work psoas, I start you out. If I work psoas, first I hit your quads, then I hit the adductors, and the adductors go up into the pelvis and connect the same way the psoas does. Flip you over, and I'm going to hit the glutes, a little bit of that thoracolumbar fascia, which if you see a picture of an anatomy chart with muscles, you see that white on the low back.
Okay.
That's thick fascia. I try to get that moving and not so stuck down. Hit the hamstrings a little, then I put you on your side. And we're going to come all the way around the glutes over the pelvic side of the hips. We're going to hit the QL, the erectors, the obliques, then come down around the following the curved line of your pelvis where that psoas gets into. And I don't have to touch the muscles specifically. If I've got the fascia, it's going to pull it along. And getting all of that to open up, get the rib cage to separate and loosen up a little bit more from the top of the pelvic line. Just starts to change the way your whole body moves. Not only am I freeing up your back pain, but I'm getting your body to function better.
And that's the thing, is that this is all because somebody came in with a back issue. It blows my mind the way that you've shown me how everything connects, Becky. It's been not only cool to be worked on and to actually get relief, but to kind of understand, I've understood my body better because of you too. So it's been a really cool experience. I appreciate it.
I love hearing that. The one thing that I probably want to touch on briefly that a lot of people don't touch on
is
the importance of making sure the feet are not locked up, the ankle mobility is off, that your tarsals are too tightly wound together. Because what I've learned from bodybuilders is when you are posing, your feet have to plant into the ground, and from there that kinetic chain has to fire so that you can follow the line to get muscles to pop accordingly, correct?
Right.
If your feet are blocking signals and not moving well, you're not getting the right blood flow to connect with that. The nervous system's not connecting as well as it could.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've started incorporating that a whole lot more.
No kidding. That makes sense to me. let everybody know, Becky, where can they find you if somebody's local or they happen to be in the Metro Detroit area and they had an opportunity to come out and see you?
Absolutely. I'm on Instagram at FSTBecky. That's Fascial Stretch Therapy, FSTBecky. I'm on Facebook just as Becky Wilson. My work is Tricovery Massage and Flexibility. And if you ever want to schedule, all you'll need to do is go to tri-covery.com. And it's schedule now button is right there. My schedule is always online. It's important to note that I only put 70 to 75% of my availability online so that I am prepared for the emergency phone calls.
Ah, okay.
And I've learned that I know where my gray area is. I know where I can squeeze people in. It is always worthwhile to reach out to me if something online does not work for your schedule.
And I will say too, you guys have such a cool website put together. It's easy to get in. It's easy to set it up. I don't think I've ever been anywhere that's that easy. You could literally, like Becky just said, go to the schedule. You could find what days work for you. You can click it, and then you also get email and text reminders, which helps me big time. So I appreciate it.
It's really good. The entire team's been able to create just a wonderful environment for everyone. We're located in the same facility as a company called Michigan Elite Conditioning for Athletes, and they're a one-on-one personal training facility, and they've been able to just accomplish some wonderful results for the everyday person too. And you talked about the Detroit Lions. We've got quite a few in there training right now, nice. Two-a-days, getting ready for OTAs or spring training camp.
Oh, no kidding. It's a great facility too, an awesome gym.
Yes. It's nice to be partnered with such what I call my brilliant meatheads.
So am I going to see you down at the Arnold this year?
Absolutely. I leave on Wednesday. I'll be there. I've got some Olympic weightlifting clients that'll be competing starting on Thursday, as well as my strongmen powerlifting. I'm an SBD sponsored massage therapist, so SBD sends me their sponsored athletes to work on as well.
No way. That's cool. Well, guys, if you're down at the Arnold, look for Becky. Did you say you have a cart that you wheel around?
I do have a cart that I wheel around, and I do want to note that when I'm down at the Arnold, you will see me in our Omega Strength t-shirt because my boyfriend and I started our own company to help facilitate this traveling to and from the strongman competitions we like to go to, so that it's a tax write-off.
Perfect.
But it's also a really great opportunity for us to provide a lot of support to the sports that we love.
Oh, wait. He has a podcast too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He has a podcast called The Omega Cast.
The Omega Cast. And where can people find that?
Honey, where can people find the podcast?
On iTunes
and Spreaker under OmegaCast.
Awesome. Well, I look forward, Becky, to seeing you down at the Arnold. Guys, look for Becky and her cart. And if you see her, definitely say hi. I know you'll be busy, but I'm sure you'd be happy to say hi to people.
I hug everyone, so just come on in for the hug.
All right, guys, for another episode of Advices Radio with Becky Wilson of Tricovery, we will see you soon. Thanks, Becky.
Thanks, Scott.
Advices Radio Network.